And we're holding on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph at the top. Previous Mishnah talked about cases where one... Previous Mishnah talked about one or another of the cases, thank you, where one or another of a nazir's kavanas becomes tameh, and the effect that has on the nazir. Now we're going to have not so much. Yeah, we just started. Now we're going to talk about not so much the kavanas became possible, but the nazir became possible. The Mishnah says, Mishin nizrak olav echa min adamim, somebody who one of the blood of one of the three korbanos was sprinkled on his behalf, the nitma, and then he became tamei before they could bring the rest of them. Mem zayin amud aleph. Rabbi Eliezer omer soiser sakol. Rabbi Eliezer says he loses everything. Loses everything, not literally. We actually, the Gemara is going to explain. Rabbi Eliezer himself said that it's acha malois, if you're after the day when the nazir is finished. We learned earlier in the Masechta, the typical nazir is 30 days, and you bring your korbanos on the 31st. At that point, Rabbi Eliezer would say it's acha malois already. It's after the 30 complete days of nazir have passed, and therefore you're not going to lose everything. All you're going to lose is 7 days. So when we say soiser sakol, we don't literally mean he loses everything. We mean as far as the days. What we mean is he loses everything as far as the korbanos. That the korbanos that he brought so far are no good. So again, Rabbi Eliezer said earlier in the Masechta that a nazir will become tamei acha malois after the 30 days or whatever the number of days it is, only loses 7 days. He only loses the amount of time that it takes for him to become tara, which is seven from Tumas Mes, which is 7 days. So when we say that he was soiser sakol, we don't mean in the usual sense that we say soiser sakol to mean that he loses the days, because he doesn't. He only loses 7 days, which isn't really even stira according to him. What we mean by soiser sakol means he loses all of his karbanas. Whichever karbanas he brought already before he became tamei aren't going to count. He's going to need to rebring them after he's tara again.
So he doesn't lose them; he has just to wait.
But he loses the korbanos. If they had already brought two of the korbanos and then he became tamei, he's going to have to bring those same two korbanos again later, plus the third. Whereas the chacham say, no, yavishar kabanos v'yitar. He can bring the other korbanos and become tahor. Which means, really what it means is when he becomes tahor, when he finishes his tara, then he can bring the rest of his korbanos. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we said all he loses is 7 days, and that's because Rabbi Eliezer holds that Acha Malois, you only lose 7 days. The Chachamim who hold that Acha Malois, you lose everything, but on the other hand, they're the ones who say, as we said in the previous Mishnah, two Mishnahs ago, that once you brought one of your Korbanos, then already you can shave, as long as that Korban was good. They didn't say, like Rabbi Eliezer, that you need Acha Maisim Kulam. So Rabbi Eliezer is being consistent with his opinion. You need Acha Maisim Kulam, therefore none of the Korbanos that he brought before he became Tomei are going to count now. Whereas the Chachamim will say that once you brought one Korban, b'dieved, that's good enough. And at that point, you can already drink wine, be metamel maisim. They're also going to say he doesn't lose any days, but for a different reason. Because normally they would say if he'd become Tomei before he had brought any Korbanos, he would lose everything and have to start all over again. But now, since he already brought one Korban, he's good. And then when he becomes, he's good for that carbon. And then when he becomes tar, he'll bring the rest of his carbonus. The job is shark carbonus of yitzar. That when he becomes tar, he'll bring the rest of his carbonus.
He has to bring two carbonus.
Same thing. Then those two carbonus are good, and he has to bring the other one later. Amrulai, so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, we can prove, in fact, that the halacha is that the carbonus that he already brought before he became tamei count. Maisav Miriam at Talmud. This had happened once with Miriam from Talmud. Talmud is the city of Palmyra in Syria. It was in the news a couple of months ago because ISIS was destroying things over there. But we learned all about it in Yevamos, that they were involved in the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni. They were not nice people. But apparently there were Jews living there as well, and one of them was Miriam. Yes and no. I mean, maybe you could say they're doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, let's say. Okay, anyway. One of the blood of one of her korbanos was sprinkled on her. She was a nazir, and then one of the blood of one of the korbanos was sprinkled on her behalf. Then people came and told her, you know, your daughter is dangerously ill. You better interrupt and go see her. And she went. And she found her daughter was dead. And of course, going into the oil mess, she became tamei. And the Chacham said, no problem. She can bring her other korbanos later on after she becomes tahor. So we see from that, so you have a practical example that in fact we don't make her bring over again the korban that she already brought beforehand.
That's coming.
That's the problem. Well, that's the proving to Rabbi Eliezer since there was a mice of a toils and mice of God, that an actual case that the Rabbanim of that, the Sanhedrin or whoever it was at that time determined that this is what we should do, then they're proving to Rabbi Eliezer, well, that should be the halacha then. And the Gemara says, "Katani Rabbi Eliezer and Asayi Sefekol." So he said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer said that you lose everything. What do you mean everything? V'amar Rabbi Eliezer kolacham alois shiva saiser. We learned before in the Masechta that Rabbi Eliezer says that if you become tamei acham alois after the full term of Nazirus is over, you only lose 7 days. And really, that's not even again. It's not even really losing 7 days. It's just you have to be tahor to be able to bring the korban of tara, and it takes 7 days to become tahor.
So why is it praise lashon about kol?
That's the question. You're right. When we say soiser, we don't mean he loses time. We mean he loses his korbanos. Whichever korbanos he brought before he became tamei don't count. That is hakol. All the korbanos that he brought so far. In fact, this seems logical. Because the Mishnah continues, the Chachamim say that she should bring the rest of her korbanos when she's tahor. Actually, the Mishnah has it in Lashon Zachar, and Hagoyet Habach changes it to Lashon Zachar. But okay, maybe since the Mishnah had brought up the actual case history with Miriam and Talmudis, who was a woman, maybe that's why the Gemara quotes it in the feminine. Okay, anyway. Shmamina, that proves that the machloikas between them is not about how much time you lose, but rather about what korbanos, if any, you lose. Umaisanami, and the Mishnah continues, indeed there was a case with Miriam Atamurdis, Shinizer Khalai Achimina Domim, Uvovodiu Albita Shaitz Mr. Kenneth, that came and informed her that her daughter is dangerously ill, Vahoko Masa Shemesa, she went and found her daughter was dead, and thus became Tamil, Vahmacham Tavi Shakamina Seva Titar, and the Chamim say, we proved when we said Tavi Shakamina Seva Titar, Maybe the word shar, maybe not particularly. Maybe it doesn't mean the rest of her korbanos. Maybe it means she has to start all over. But no, from the actual case of Miriam HaTalmudis, where again they said tovi shar korbanos evetitar, shmamina, that clearly proves that it means just bringing the rest of the korbanos and whichever ones she already brought at that point do count. Shmamina, that proves it. So usually they would bring them all at the same time, because what we actually said before, we said a couple of days ago, that really what's supposed to happen, according to the Rambam anyways, you bring Chatos, Ola, and Shlomim, the sequence is like that, and you're Megaleach in connection with the Shlomim. So you wouldn't usually bring them all at the same time. Yes, that's effectively what we're saying, yeah. Okay, Hadron aloch shalosh aminim. Okay. From here on till pretty much almost until the end of the Masechta, we're going to be focusing on the dinim of Tumas Met for the Nazir, where Nazir is not allowed to become Tumas Met, so we're going to analyze all the details that are involved in that. Now, we know besides a Nazir, that a Nazir is not allowed to become Tomei for any of his relatives, except he's only allowed to become Tomei for a Mesnes, as the Mishnah is going to tell us. And we know there's one other person who's like that also, a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Hediot is allowed to be Metamei for his 7 relatives, in fact, it's a mitzvah for him too, Lo Yitama, mitzvah, but not a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol has the same rules as a Nazir. What?
Not even
his wife, yeah. So the Mishnah starts, now, so what happens then? So the Mishnah starts off, Kohen God of another, Ein Mitam and Lekrevehen, they cannot become Tomei even to their relative, Av Mitam and Mes Mitzvah, but they can become Tomei for a Mes Mitzvah, which we talked about the other day. A Mes Mitzvah is you find a body where there's nobody else available to bury it. We talked about the business about that you call out and nobody answers. Does that mean that if the Mes himself was alive and called out for help, there would or wouldn't have been people around for him? Or does it mean that if you, the finder, find the body and call out for help burying it and there's nobody around? Okay. What if Hoyim Mahalchim Baderech? Now, what if you have a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir are walking on the road together, and they find a Mes Mitzvah? Which one should be the one to become Tomei for it? Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, Tama Kohen Gadol, I Tama Nazir. So Rabbi Eliezer says, better let the Kohen Gadol become Tamei, not the Nazir. Because the Nazir is going to have to, the Nazir has to bring a korban when he becomes Tamei. Which means, Rabbi Eliezer is arguing, that the Kedusha of a Nazir must be greater than that, or the Torah, not so much the Kedusha is greater, but the Kohen is more, the Kedusha of him is greater, because we see the Torah is more makbid on the fact that he becomes Tamei, that he's bringing a korban for him, unlike a Kohen.
You're
going to come double. Yes. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, let the Nazir become Tamei, not the Kohen head yet. On the side here it says, Sfarim Achayim Kohen Gadol, that the different gears are Kohen Gadol and Kohen head yet. But the gears that we have here, Kohen head yet, the Tosfos explains that the vote. The Chachamim are saying, yes, it's true that a Kohen head yet has more dispensation than a Kohen Gadol or another, because he can be Matame for his relatives. But when it comes to any other Mason, a regular Kohen and a Kohen Gadol are basically the same thing. So the dispensation for Mes Mitzvah applies to both of them, but a Nazir is still lesser than both of them. And the reason is, the Mishnah is going to say, because a Nazir is only Kedushas Shah. He's only a temporary Kedusha. Whereas a Nazir, a Kohen is a permanent. It doesn't matter. The Chachamim say it doesn't matter, the Korbanos. The fact is, a Nazir's Kedusha is a temporary thing, a Kohen's Kedusha is a permanent thing, and therefore the Kohen's Kedusha is stronger.
So they say that the Kedusha that's permanent is greater than the Kedusha that's temporary?
Yeah, that's the idea.
Another
Shimshin can become Tamei Mes anyway, that's neither here nor there. But another Olam, yes, Tosfos asks that. And Tosfos answer is that Rambam says similarly, yes, that's true, there is such a thing as another Olam, but the fact of the matter is the concept of Nazirut is a temporary thing. Yes, there can be such a thing as another Olam, and his is permanent, but the very concept of Nazirut is a temporary thing. There's other Mepharshim talk about different other details in it also. One is exactly, the Kohen is from birth, the Nazir is not. So there's that difference. Also, incidentally, a Siddur that talks about that I was learning a Maimer recently about the difference. The Frida Kadeva discusses about Ein Soit versus Ein Loi Soit versus Ein Loi Tchila, where you have, for example, you can have something that has beginning but has no end. Here we have an example of that. Once the Nazir has his status as Nazir, especially as a Nazir Olam, and a Kohen, on the face of it, they both go until the end of their lives, but the Nazirs have a point of where it began, whereas the Kohen doesn't. And therefore the Kohen has the greater advantage. He's aimless Tchila and aimless Soif, whereas the Nazirs only, the Nazirs have a Tchila, just not a Soif.
He was Tchila when he was born, the Kohen.
That's what we're saying. Yeah, but that's not considered, I mean, before he existed, it didn't exist either, basically. Another thing is also, Mepharshim points out, another difference is that the Kohen's Kedusha is heritable, it's inherited by his children, the Nazir's is not. But because of all those reasons, when we say that a Nazir's Kedusha is less than a Kohen's. So, Amalehem Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer says to them, why? You have a Kohen, Sheni, maybe Korban, Al Tumah. So, why shouldn't the Kohen become Tameh because he won't have to bring a Korban for his Tumah? Why? You have a Nazir, Sheni, maybe Korban, Al Tumah. Rather than the Nazir is going to have to bring a Korban. Obviously, you see that the Torah treats his Tumah more seriously. Amalehem, come answer to him back. Yes, you have a Nazir, Sheni, Kedusha, the Kedusha, Salem. Yes, let the Nazir become Tameh because his Kedusha is not a permanent Kedusha, or according to all the various possibilities that we just talked about. Let not the Kohen, even a Kohen head yet, become Tomei, because his Kedusha is a permanent Kedusha. It runs from the beginning to the end of his life without any interruption. And there's also another consideration also that they talk about is, we've said a few times in the Masechta that the Surim of a Nazir have a certain kula to them, in that you can always be Matzah Neder. The Surim of a Kohen, there's no Atar Tadarim for it. Incidentally, by the way, they talk about there's a couple of Achronim talk about the question. On the face of it, if a Kohen becomes Tomei for a Mes Mitzvah, he's only violating one Mitzvah, that is the Lenefesh Le'itama Ba'amav. Okay, maybe two, because also Kedoshim Yiyu Le'Kayim. The Nazir is violating four or five or six, however many we counted before. Shouldn't, for that reason alone, shouldn't we say that the Kohen should be the one to become Tomei? And one answer that they give is in fact based on this idea that Nazir Yeshne B'Shela, so therefore even the fact there are four or five or however many Yisurim involved is less serious than the Kohen, because theoretically he could have been Shoyal, he could be Matu Neder, and then none of them apply. What about the one Kodesh Yiyah? So they talk about, okay, if he's Matu Neder, then he's not Kodesh, and then he's not Kodesh. No, there's a specific one by the Nazir, Kodesh Yiyah Gadol Peres Harosh. But once he's Matzah Neder, there's no Kedusha anymore, so you can't speak of him as Kedusha anymore.
Is that
from Kedusha? No, it's Kedusha on top of it. Right, but the Kedusha in Yilu Le'Kayim actually is talking about Kohenim. But by the Nazir, Kedusha Gadol Peres Harosh. But that's one. And then there's also a discussion that when we talk about avedus, when we talk about, for example, the classic cases, you have a very sick person who has to be given something to eat. Should you give him, for example, a nevela, or should you give him nevela versus should you give him chazer flesh? Then you look at the number of isurim that are involved. Because after all, you are doing something which ultimately is also just being overridden because of the chaybahem. Here, we're talking about, it's not even a question of an issue, really. The Torah itself, like a tchila, carves out an exception for a mes mitzvah, for a kohen, and for another. Therefore, there's no number of isurim on one side or the other to talk about, because there's no isurim involved, really. It's just a matter of the level of surah. I understand, but the difference is, it's basically a question of tchuyah versus tchuyah, basically. By Pekoch Nefesh, it would be more a matter of Dechuya. Here it would be more a matter of Hurtzera, according to that understanding. Okay. Okay. The Gemara, Mishlam HaKohen Gadol V'Nazir. Okay, I can understand the argument between in the Mishnah about the Kohen Gadol versus the Nazir, which one should be Kantame. Ha'isav HaKohen Gadol Adif, Ha'isav HaNazir Adif. Fine, good. Obviously then, Rabbi Eliezer feels that the Kohen Gadol's Kedusha is greater. And the Chachamim hold that the Nazir, or the other way around, Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Kohen Gadol's Kedusha, yeah, that the Kohen Gadol's Kedusha is greater, that the Nazir's Kedusha is greater, and the Chachamim say that the Kohen Gadol is greater. Fine, let's continue with some other cases that we know for a fact what the order of questions should be. How about if you have Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha or Merubah B'Gadim? What if you have two Kohenim Gadolim who find this Mes Mitzvah? One was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, the other one became Kohen Gadol by wearing the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol. So what's the story? We learned way back in Megillah, about a year ago, that they had the Shemen HaMishcha from Moshe Rabbeinu's times until Yoshiyahu's times, towards the end of the first Mitzvah. Then they hid it away together with the Aron and Aaron's staff and several other things. We learned about it in Yuma as well. From then on, they didn't have Shemen HaMishcha. From then on, a Kohen Gadol became Kohen Gadol by Merubah B'Gadim. He'd wear the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol and perform the Avodah for 7 days straight. So what happens now if you have those two? Which one has the greater Kedusha? Which one should not be Metameh for the Mes Mitzvah and let the other one do so? The answer is Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha Adif. The one who's anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha is greater. That's obvious. Why? Because the Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha has a certain advantage. The Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha may be part of Barakah L'Mitzvah, because a Kohen Gadol anointed with Shemen HaMishcha would bring, if he made a mistake in Halacha, then it describes in Parashas Vayikra that he would bring a special Korban Chatas, a par where the blood of it is brought into the Heichol and sprinkled on the Paroiches, etc. The Ilum Merubah B'Gadim maybe, whereas the Merubah B'Gadim does not bring it, because the Pasuk starts off out over there, Ima Koyen HaMashiach Yachal HaShmasam, so it's specifically only if he's Mashiach, only if he's anointed.
With the oil that came
from Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes. And Tosfos points out, once Moshe Rabbeinu made that oil, nobody ever made, and the Gemara in Tosfos actually points out, nobody ever made another oil like it. First of all, it's also true unless you're making it for the Beth Mikdash. But second of all, practically speaking, the Gemara explains there in Krisis what kind of nisim were involved. You had only 12 logim of oil to start with, and it was still able to absorb the smell of all that huge amount of spices that the Torah lists over there that they had to put together, and none of it went missing. The original 12 logim that Moshe Rabbeinu made still existed even after they anointed Aaron and his sons and the kelim of the Beth Mikdash with, and still continued to exist. The whole same 12 logim.
How much is 12 logim?
A log is about a pint, so 12 logim is about a gallon and a half. So once they hid away the original Shemen HaMishcha in Yoshiyahu's time, they didn't make any more, because they were only using the one all the way back from Moshe.
It was used, or it was just...
That's the thing, it was a nest that it kept on refilling, even as they used it. Now that's it, and Yoshiyahu hid it away, and it's hidden in the tunnels somewhere under the Beis Mikdash. Okay, you could argue that maybe since the original Shemen that's there was originally created. Yeah, with Hanukkah that's different though, because Okay. Fair enough. I mean, here the prophet says, Shemen Mishcha Sodesh Yezel Liv Zereseched, that the whole 12 log is going to be there forever. Okay. choice.
So Mashiach will...
So when Mashiach comes, it'll be revealed, and then it'll be used to anoint Mashiach and to anoint the Kohen Gadol, etc. Yeah. It was also used to... If it becomes Tomei, then I guess you have a problem, but it never did in practice. Okay, anyway, Tosfos and the Rosh discuss the practicalities, given that Mashiach, Mashem, and Amishah only existed till the times of the Yeshiyahu, and Merubah B'Godim as a Kohen Gadol, that concept only existed after that, when do you ever have a time in history that you have both of them could be walking on the road and ever come into this issue in the first place? So they give a couple of possibilities. One of them, for example, could be suppose that the Kohen Gadol from before Yoshio's times, let's say he's still in service, let's say he becomes Tomei as a Balkeri, he has to be replaced temporarily for Kippur or some other time of the year, and then once he becomes Tohar again, he can resume. Meanwhile, let's say the first Yom Kippur after they hid away the Shemana Mishka, let's say he becomes a Balkeri, so now they have to replace him temporarily for Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, then you have, there's a Mashiach for Shemana Mishka, who's been in office now 40 years, or whatever it is, and a Merubah B'Godim, who just entered office on Yom Kippur.
So he doesn't enter the office, so he's
only a temporary. Right, but nevertheless, they're still both considered
friends. But when the Kohen Gadol, the first one, he was anointed, recovered.
So that's what Tosfos asks. That we learned in Yuma that when you have a situation like that, what happens is that the first one goes back to the position, and the second one from then on can't do the avodah. He can't do the avodah as a Kohen Hedyot anymore because he already did it as a Kohen Gadol in Mayim Hakodesh Lekodesh. We looked at it in Yuma. We had a whole discussion about it in Yuma. He can't do it as a Kohen Gadol from Ava because there's going to be ill feeling between the two of them. The Kohen Gadol has been in office for many years already. He's going to feel he has a rival, an upstart in the position all of a sudden. So you still have that the two of them don't have the, you still have the two of them are not at the same time. So Tosfos discusses another possibility. What happens, for example, the Kohen Gadol goes into Golus? What if the Kohen Gadol accidentally kills somebody, for example? He has to go in Golus. And then they appointed another one with Ribu Gadim, because again we're talking after the Shemana Mishka was already hidden. Both of them are serving for quite some time. The original one was serving for many years before he became a Ratzeach B'Shkaga. The second one serves for however long it takes until the Kohen Gadol in office dies and the original Kohen Gadol can return from the Yom Kippur. So by that point already, you say that you have both of them, and you have both of them effectively are in office. In that case, yes, it would be whichever Kohen Gadol was in office, whichever one was in office when Nigma Dino Shal Kohen Gadol, whichever one when the Beis Din decided his fate, whether he's amazed and needs to be executed, whether he's an onus and nothing happens to him, or Shogi, whatever, whoever was Kohen Gadol when Nigma Dino, that's the one who keeps. No, but that's the thing, because as the Mishnah discusses this matter, actually, but for our purposes, let's assume that Nigmardino, that he killed, of course, while he himself was Kohen Gadol. Then, by the time the Edom came to Beis Din and they decided the case, the Merubah B'Godim had already been appointed. So anyway, so you have that, for example. Okay. So again, the Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha obviously takes precedence because he has the advantage that he would be able to bring the power of Archa L'Mitzvah. Therefore, we'll let the Merubah B'Godim become the one who becomes Tomei L'Mes for the Mes Mitzvah. Next, let's continue. Merubah B'Godim, Mashiach She'Avah Merubah B'Godim. Now, what about if we have a case of a Kohen Mashiach who left office? Again, similar to the case we were just talking about, where he became a Balkeri and therefore temporarily he's disqualified, and a Merubah B'Godim. Then the Merubah B'Godim. Then obviously the Merubah B'Godim is the greater one. The Merubah B'Godim of the Avodah, because he's able to do the Avodah, will Mashiach Shava, Labar Avodah, where the one who's Ovar, the one who is disqualified based on Keri or Muma or what have you, can't do the Avodah anymore. Another one, Ovar Machmas Kiruyev, Ovar Machmas Muma. What if you have two Kohenim Gdolim, one who is disqualified because of Keri and one who is disqualified because of a Mum? And the one who is disqualified because of Keri is the higher one. It's the other, again, when we say each case where we say one is higher means the other one is going to have to be the one who's going to be the Tamil Amen. Yeah, that's exactly. The high Chazil Avodah L'Machar. Right, because the Balkeri will just be able to Tovel today and be ready for the Avodah tomorrow. Where somebody who had to leave office because of Mum is not going to be able to return to the Avodah, at least not anytime soon. Okay. Now with all, now with even if it's a temporary moment, it's going to last longer than a day. So now we had all of these states, the facts that we knew for a fact which one is higher than the other. Now a question. Meshruach Mechama with Sgan. What if you have walking along the road, the Meshruach Mechama, the Kohen who is anointed for war, his job is to make the announcements that it says in Parashat Shoftim over there, Shema Yisrael, Atim Kriv Mayem Mechama, Alei Beichem, etc. And the Sgan, the deputy Kohen Gadol, Hey Minayu Adif, which one is the greater one? Do we say Meshruach Mechama Adif Techazi L'Mechama? Do we say the Meshruach Mechama is greater because he's fit for war? He's the one who's anointed specially for the purpose of going to war. Or maybe the Skan is greater because he's able to actually do the Avodah. Now, what do we mean able to do the Avodah? Does that mean the Meshruach Mechama can't do the Avodah? So in Yuma, actually, the Gemara had Zohar Braisa saying that, yes, the Gemara had mentioned in Yuma that a Meshruach Mechama can't do the Avodah, neither as a Kohen Gadol nor as a Kohen Hedyeh, for the same reason that we just said about the case of the replacement of Kohen Gadol. Not as a Kohen Hedyeh because he's greater than that. He's been anointed like a Kohen Gadol, and therefore my own Kodesh Lemeridin. Not as a Kohen Gadol. Well, that's neither here nor there. I mean, he could still do the Avodah, and if war breaks out, I mean, then he'll deal with it. He'll finish the Avodah he's doing, whatever. No, but the point is, he can't do it as a Kohen Hedyeh because he's already been anointed, so he's on a higher level. He can't do it as a Kohen Gadol again, Mishum Eva, because you have that ill feeling over there. The Kohen Gadol is going to feel like he has a rival. So according to that would mean what we mean over here, that the Sgan is able to do the Avodah because he can do it as a Kohen Hedyeh, whereas the Meshruach Mechama can't at all. However, the Rambam paskins that the Meshruach Mechama can in fact do the Avodah in the Beis Mikdash. He does it as a Kohen Hedyeh, but he can do it.
Why cannot do it?
Because he's not a Kohen Gadol, again, Mishum Eva. But he can do it as a Kohen Hedyeh. So what do we mean over here, Dechazi La Avodah? The Tosfos explains that what it means is the Sgan is able to do the Avodah of Yom Kippur. If the Kohen Gadol becomes possible, because of Peri, because of a moon, because of whatever possible reason, then the Sgan will take over. That's what we said, we learned in Yuma, that's exactly why the Sgan in the first place. Where the Meshruach Mechama is not in line to take over for the Avodah of Yom Kippur. We're not talking about the regular daily Avodah. Not either of them. Do we mean the Avodah of Yom Kippur, Tosfos says?
Because
only the Sgan is the one prepped for it. He's the one whose job it is to take over. So what is it? Umar says, Tosh, I come, let's try to prove from a Mishnah. And heard it. In Tanya, we learn not on a Mishnah, Braisa, we learn on a Braisa. In Ben Meshruach Mechama L'Sgan, there's no difference, we'll be done in about 5 minutes. There's no difference between a Meshruach Mechama and a Sgan. Ella, She'im Hoyu Mahalchim Baderach, the only difference is that if they're walking on the road, exactly the case we're dealing with, Umat a Mes Mitzvah, and they find a Mes Mitzvah, Yitam a Meshruach Mechama, Vayitam a Sgan. Then the Meshruach Mechama should become Tomei, not the Sgan. So there you have it, the Sgan ranks higher than the Meshruach Mechama for that purpose. Tosfos points out there are actually other differences in halacha between a Meshruach Mechama and a Sgan. For one thing, the Meshruach Mechama, if he does serve in the Beis Mikdash, when I said he serves in the Kohen Hedyeh, no, he serves in the Kohen Gadol, actually, with the four clothes, with the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol. But whereas Sgan, if he's serving not on Yom Kippur, any other time of year, is a regular Kohen Hedyeh, he serves in the four clothes. And a few other differences also, but we're talking about over here, Tosfos says, we're talking about there's no Kula that applies to the Meshruach Mechama that doesn't also apply to the Sgan with this exception. That the Meshruach Mechama is the one who becomes Tomei, not the Sgan. So he's been anointed. He's effectively sort of a mini Kohen Gadol, yeah. Okay, the question is, Vatani Meshruach Mechama Kodem L'Sgan. Okay, but don't we have another Braisa that says that the Meshruach Mechama is ahead of the Sgan, that he ranks higher? So Mazutra says, when it comes to keeping them alive, the Mishnah and Hodias lifts the whole hierarchy over there. The Kohen Gadol comes ahead of the Sgan, and the Sgan, and the Meshruach Mechama comes. The Kohen Gadol comes before the Meshruach Mechama. The Meshruach Mechama before the Sgan, etc. There's a whole hierarchy over there. As far as, for example, if you have two people in danger and you can only save one of them, which one do you save first? Or for example, if two of them are poor and you need to give tzedakah to one of them and you only have enough for one, which one should you give to first? So when it comes to keeping them alive, Meshruach Mechama Adif, fine. Then we say the Meshruach Mechama has ranks higher. My time at the Tzolo Ve'Rabim, because the Rabim depend on him, because they need him as a chaplain when they go to war. Well, then in Tumah Sgan Adif, but when it comes to Tumah, there we say the Sgan ranks higher. The Tanya, as we learn in Ebraiser, the Chazin Ebana Tchik Nesemer, Loma Tchik Nesgan L'Kohen Gadol, why the Chlal did they set up that the Kohen Gadol has a deputy? She'im Irabay Psul, Harin Nechnesem Hashem Hashachtem. Because that way, if the Kohen Gadol becomes possible for whatever reason, then the Sgan can take over and do the Avodah instead. Specifically on Yom Kippur, primarily, we're talking about. But, so there you have it. So between the Sgan and the Mashiach Muhammad, there will be cases where the Sgan, when it comes to Tumah, we're going to put the Sgan ahead and try to avoid him becoming Tumah. When it comes to Lach Yosei, we'll put the Mashiach Muhammad ahead and save him ahead of the Sgan, because the Rabbim needs him. And also because the Mashiach Muhammad, if he becomes Tumah, it's not such a big deal. He's in Muhammad anyway. People around him are becoming Tumah anyway. Yeah. So we'll leave off over here. Now that we established the hierarchy and the different things, now the Gemara will deal with, and we'll take this up tomorrow. B'chlal, how do we know that a Nazir or a Kohen Gadol can become Tamei Lames? That can become Tamei Lames Mitzvah, that is. Where do we find Pesukim that tell us that?
Why do we need a Kohen Gadol?
Not a Kohen Gadol per se, but we need a Kohen who's specially anointed for the purpose. That's what I said. His job is to make the announcements that are in Parashat Shoftim over there. Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael, you're going to war against your enemies, don't be afraid, don't be afraid of them. You don't need a Kohen Gadol, but you need a Kohen who's anointed for that purpose. That's what the Torah says, that you need a Kohen Gadol, not a Kohen Gadol, you need a Kohen who's specially anointed and specially prepared for that purpose, to make those announcements. That's just the idea. No, he doesn't know. He goes with the army. He goes with them to. He goes with them to the front, and he makes these announcements. It's actually we'll learn in a month or two towards the end of Sota. It talks about the beginning of this, that the Mashiach Muhammad makes some of the announcements, and then the Shoterim repeat them, and then some of them the Shoterim themselves say whatever. It's a whole procedure over there. Yeah.